At 8:15 now on this Tuesday morning, going to be a nice day and a nice stretch of weather, really. I heard Chris Franklin, WWL, Louisiana chief meteorologist yesterday, say that as far as he's concerned, he was calling it for the hurricane season, and he figured that if you look at what's going on out there right now, and then if you look at the trends, that we're pretty well in the clear, which meant I'm going to Home Depot and getting some plywood. Just kidding, Chris. Tim Temple joins us now, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. How you doing, Tim?
Good morning. It is a beautiful day today.
It is, and do you think it's okay to sound the all clear or not?
Look, I'm not going to go that far. You never know what's going to happen. I'm going to wait until we get out of November.
I admire Chris for saying that. I really do, and I hope he's right. Let's talk about the effects of Francine, I guess, and more importantly, Helene, and what that could have to do with the insurance rates that we in Louisiana pay. And Milton, too.
Yeah, you know, Milton. Yeah, well, and I think that's the ones that, Helene and Milton are the ones that everybody is looking at now to see what that total damage is going to come in. And I'll tell you, the reports that I read and the conversations I've had, it's coming in as the word is manageable. If you look at just look at Florida, and after they had Ian a couple of years ago, that was a $65 billion loss. Mm-hmm. It looks like Helene and Milton are going to come in less than half of that. So, again, the word is manageable, but I do want to remind your listeners that reinsurance is a global market. It's a global product, and things that happen around the country and around the world have the potential to impact reinsurance rates. But again, I look at the reports and I read a bunch of different trade publications, and globally it looks like catastrophic losses are coming in lower than forecast. But again, we've got we're not out of this year yet. So it looks like we're trending in the right direction, so that reinsurance isn't going to be a major factor. But we got to hold out until see what the next 2 months bring.
You're generous with your time, and you and I have spoken about this repeatedly, as you have with Newell. But people are bombarded with 5,000 messages a day now. While you and I know about reinsurance, I don't know as much as you do. But the average person listening right now might not have any idea what in the heck we're talking about. So, if you will, Tim, take some time, talk about how what happens worldwide with the reinsurance market affects insurance companies and what we have to pay for homeowners coverage here.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate it, Tommy. So just like you and I buy insurance to spread our risk so that we're not financially responsible for 100% of whether it's our car, our home, medical bills, workers' comp, whatever it is that we're purchasing, insurance companies do the same thing. They purchase insurance, but when they do it, it's called reinsurance. And it's a global market, and it just helps insurance companies spread their risk as well. And after we saw with, Laura, Delta, Zeta, Ida in 2021, and then with Ian in Florida later in 21, those were huge losses that the reinsurance companies and the insurance companies spent a lot of money writing claims checks. And so they had to, refill the coffers, if you will. And that's when we saw rates going up dramatically. I think a lot of people remember Louisiana Citizens that had that policy. I believe it was in 22. It was before I was commissioner. I think it was 22, reinsurance cost made the premium go up. I think it was 63%, 62% just because of reinsurance. And so it is important. We do pay attention to it. We can't do anything about the cost of capital, but that's the reason that I'm always focused on things that we can control here in our state, the regulatory environment, the legal environment, and also the physical risk, making sure that we're building more resilient structures. I'm focused on things we can control, but I'm also, cognizant and aware of things that are beyond our control so that we can at least talk about it and be prepared for it.
I was talking to Barry Keim just now, Tim, a climatologist from LSU, about, I got a picture. I saw it on television. I saved it to my phone because it was a neighborhood that was flooded after a torrential rain, and the only house that wasn't flooded was the one that was older and built raised like they used to in the old days, because they knew that, we were below sea level, and when it rained, it flooded, and it seems as though times are short, memories rather are short, time passes. And I always go back to the example of the Mississippi Gulf Coast after Camille. They were building 20 feet up on the ground, and they came down about a foot every year to building ranch-style homes again. So I guess what I'm wondering, we can take a break here. You can pick it up when we come back. As you talk about, you know, we know about fortified roofs and so forth. Is it time to really reexamine the building codes and maybe build everything elevated? That's not going to help with wind and hail, I realize that, or fire, but it would help with flood, which is a national program. And also, another question that I have, and I don't know if you know the answer or not, but how do reinsurers spread their risk? Because it would seem as though they would want to at some point limit their liability as well. Having a conversation with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. If you have any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. And along those lines, in addition to elevated houses, what else can we do besides fortified roofs to make our houses more impervious to any hurricane threats or any damage? 821 traffic now, WWL. 8:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, about reinsurance and Milton and Helene. The good news, relatively good news, I guess, Tim, is that Ian caused $65 billion of damage. Helene and Milton combined less than half of that. So as it relates to the reinsurance market and the global market and everything, let me get to this first. How do reinsurers, because I know you're an insurance guy, how do reinsurers spread their risk? Because somebody eventually is going to have to eat something, right?
Yeah, and look, you're right. Reinsurance companies do the same thing. They spread their risk and reduce their loss of catastrophic, events. So when they buy, it's called a retrocession. It's just a different word, for everybody to get to learn. But you've got insurance, reinsurance, and then retrocession. But it's the same financial policy. It's you're taking and spreading your risk, but. You had mentioned earlier a couple of things that I wanted to make sure we address. And, you're right. You were talking about, after prior hurricanes, catastrophic events, people kind of learn a lesson. And then over time, they kind of go back to the ways of old. And, I think that's one of the keys that, planning commissions need to be more engaged. And I'm going to say take a little bit more authority and just helping people decide, where they can, where they can build. Mm-hmm. We all know, and we grew up where, certain areas you just never built there because it flooded, or, scenarios where you didn't want to go in this area for other weather related events. And nowadays you're seeing, developers come in, they buy that land because it's cheap, and then they put concentration of properties there. Yep. And so we've got to acknowledge that, and we've got to figure out a better way to do it. But we also need to look at concentration because, we're certainly being impacted here in Louisiana. But if you've ever traveled to Florida and you see the multitude of high-rise buildings and remember what it was 20 years ago, there weren't as many then. And so when you do have an event and it comes in, it impacts more homes. We have hailstorms that go through Nebraska, and decades ago, it didn't do any damage other than crop damage, which is certainly an issue. But nowadays, you've got, fields where there used to be fields, there's now neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to acknowledge that concentration is an issue. You talked about elevating homes. And I know the Corps is getting ready, reading that article yesterday and having talked to some folks about, the Corps is going to come in and elevate a bunch of properties so that we get them out of the floodplain, mm-hmm. which I'm certainly supportive of. But we're only doing half the job. We're going to elevate these properties, but yet we're not going to fortify the roofs.
Right.
I'm trying to work, and we're getting ready to engage with the federal delegation, the federal government to say, don't spend money just elevating a home so it doesn't flood. Let's go ahead and put a fortified roof on that too, because that is a key element in helping make Louisiana more affordable from an insurance perspective.
Tim, let me get to this real quick, and I think it's important because it goes to the private nature, I probably traded companies, I guess insurance companies are or not, I don't know, but it's not a government-run entity, right? It says, ask Tim about the hundreds of millions of dollars insurance companies spend on advertisements but they say they're broke. And you see Aaron Rodgers and who's the other guy? Whoever it is, the Kansas City quarterback. Can't think of his name right now. Patrick Mahomes, and doing all these State Farm commercials. But these are private companies, and they can spend their money how they want, and you can't force them to write insurance, and that's where the issue comes in. And the corollary is, okay, if you want a government-run insurance plan, you got flood insurance, right?
That's right. I mean, I don't think anybody wants FEMA to come in and run a catastrophe program. You know, and look, we talk about the advertising thing, and I know that the battle over the Capitol has been the battle forever has taken place on advertising. And I don't think that's where we need to focus. You know, everybody, I mean, look, it is a First Amendment right that you have, you know, freedom to advertise. And I think that that's a red herring. You know, if people want to say, let's look at how much people are spending on advertising, then that's got to go all the way around the table.
Well, and that, Tim,
and I don't know that everybody wants to talk about that.
Well, then you're talking about, are you going to make it a public utility? Are you going to regulate it that way? And then if so, who's going to write insurance? And you're back to a quasi-governmental thing. Never enough time. You have to come back, all right?
Hey, anytime. I'm always happy to, Tommy. This is a complex issue, and I appreciate the opportunity to call.
And there are no simple solutions. Thank you, sir. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, taking a break. Coming back, talking to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. In case you've not heard, Dennis Allen has said that, make no mistake about it, when it comes to Sunday's game, your starting quarterback will be Darrell. Time now, WWL First News. All right, 8:46, 14 till 9, Causeway southbound closed. A fire is understanding, a vehicle fire at mile marker 22.5. And thanks for those of you texting in. They say they're letting emergency vehicles go through. I'm sure Carlton Dufresneau will let us know as soon as that Causeway southbound reopens. Meanwhile, be apprised of that fact that if you're coming from the North Shore to the South Shore, the causeway is currently closed, so you may want to either wait or take an alternative route. Steve Geller joins us now, WWL Sports Director. How you doing, Steve?
I've been hanging in there, Tommy. How you been today?
I am okay, sir. Tell me what the Saints have been doing since the Thursday night effort against... it's been a long time. Tim, Thursday night...
against Denver.
Denver. There. How could I forget that? Sean Payton and the Broncos. How did they arrange your schedule? Do you know?
Yeah, see, you got me now. Dennis Allen gave the team some time off. Obviously, this team, we know the black and gold are banged up, so guys got a little extra time for some rest. But someone like a Derek Carr did put in a throwing session on Saturday. He did get one Monday as well, and will go again today. They're going to test that oblique issue with him going into this week 8 matchup already. Yeah, the black and gold now, have lost 5 in a row and could end up turning to Spencer Rattler again as their starting quarterback if Carr's not able to go. They tried to at least ramp him up to be the emergency backup quarterback for last week. That's why Dennis Allen said he was listed as doubtful on the injury report, but come game time, Carr was inactive for the team, so it wasn't like even an emergency capacity. He was good to go with the oblique issue, so we're kind of still waiting to see how that goes with his throwing session today after doing yesterday, today, back-to-backs. See how that responds, but right now, it's looking like we're going to see another go for the Rattler under center.
Rattler!
Exactly. It's fun to say. From Seinfeld when it says Bobby A. Bear. It's just fun to say. Rattler is fun to say, too. But hopefully, you know, we see more improvement from the youngster. It's been a little bit of a rough go. He's been pretty, you know, decent completion-wise when he's not under duress. Obviously, when the rookies face some pressure, things have been a lot different, and also turnover-wise as well. But I think overall what we're seeing from him is definitely a promising prospect in the Saints' fifth-round draft pick.
I was concerned during the game Thursday night against the Broncos late before Jake Haener came in because he grabbed his side, and I thought he might have another oblique issue. What do we know about that? Anything?
They called it a hip pointer, but things that they're saying that going into this week's matchup against the Chargers that he should be A-OK. I thought maybe with Haener's performance right at the end of the game, able to orchestrate that, you know, touchdown drive in the game. Maybe they turn to him to give him a look as the starting quarterback, but Dennis Allen has made it clear that Rackwell will be the guy going forward still.
I think that had a lot to do maybe, too, with the situation that they were in and what kind of defense the Denver Broncos were playing, and maybe, yeah, I understand what I'm saying. They were playing pretty soft, right, at that point in the game?
Yeah, and you look at also that Denver Broncos front was pretty vicious, one of the highest sack rates, one of the highest blitz rates, at least in the NFL. And I know their sack numbers are up there as well, too. And poor Rattler has 11 sacks in his first two starts in the league. You know, obviously the young man still learning his way in the NFL.
Let me take a break because we got some traffic problems. We'll pick it up. We come back 8:50, 10 till 9, 2 traffic now on WWL. All right, 8:55, 5 till 9. One lane of the causeway is now open southbound. I believe Carlton Dufour showed is busy, but reached out to the newsroom and said that they should have everything cleared up, hopefully by 9:30. But one lane of the causeway is open southbound now. Be aware of that and expect the customary and usual delays. Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director, our guest, talking about the Saints and Daratla. And tell me who he's going to throw to. They got a new receiver they signed or not?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tommy. Obviously, we know Rashid Shaheed put on the shelf dealing with an injury after having meniscus surgery, so he's going to miss the rest of this year. Chris Olave, still in the concussion protocol. Dennis Allen wouldn't elaborate anymore, or said he couldn't elaborate anymore due to NFL, you know, rules and the regulations there. But Olave still trying to clear that concussion protocol, so that puts his status still in question for Sunday against the Chargers. So the team is bringing in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a guy that we know spent a ton of time with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and then the last this past season was with the Buffalo Bills the last six games, and also spent time winning two Super Bowls, a guy with the Kansas City Chiefs. So a veteran presence for this team, a deep threat with losing someone for sure, and a Rashid Shaheed. Hasn't had much action, though, in Buffalo this year. I think it's two receptions in six games this season, and they ended up letting him go after the Bills were able to make a trade for Amari Cooper, giving, you know, I guess the Saints a chance at a veteran presence here in that locker room at wide receiver, because right now you got a lot of young guys back there, inexperienced, and obviously with a young rookie quarterback getting his feet wet, not the idealist situation for this team right now.
No, and Amari Cooper contributed on Sunday for the Bills, so apparently it made the right choice for them. Let's talk about Paulson Adebo. What are they going to do with him being out with his broken leg?
Oof, yeah, just brutal with him, obviously. You never like to see that from a young guy, especially he's heading into a contract year, so it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with Adebo, a broken femur. Then with the curious question now, too, with Marshon Lattimore leaving last game with the hamstring issue, you definitely have some question marks on your outside corner position for this game as well. Dennis Allen did say that we would see someone like Alante Taylor move to the outside for Adebo, so that'll open up the slot, you know, the slot role, which I think you'll end up seeing the rookie and Kool-Aid McKinstry move into that spot. Also possible someone like an Ugo Amadi for this team as well. But man, oh man, you know, you talk about when it rains, it pours with injuries. This team just front to back dealing with a ton of stuff, offense, defense. Hopefully we can get someone like a Taysom Hill and a Cesar Ruiz back this week for this team. We'll find out, obviously, a little bit more when that injury report, the initial one, comes out tomorrow.
Los Angeles Chargers lost last Ooh. Night to the Cardinals, but at least they're coming off a somewhat short week. The Saints got the longer time to prepare. What can we look for when the Saints play them on Sunday?
Yeah, sadly, with this Harbaugh now run offense in the Chargers, they got a stud at quarterback in a Justin Herbert. Hasn't been having the greatest year on the Chargers either, but man, oh man, Harbaugh wants to run the football, and that scares the bejesus out of me, considering the last couple games against this Saints defense, they've been just paper mache. Guys have been running through them, so if you have J.K. Dobbins in fantasy football, he is definitely a must-start against the Saints defense. Hopefully they can tighten some things up, but man, oh man, right now you look at that Saints D-line, they're not the ones that are hurting, so they got no excuses of why things are not happening up front.
Thank you, Steve Gell. Appreciate it as always. How's that young man doing at Rummel?
Doing all right. The ninth graders got their first win of the season this past week, so things are looking up for them.
Woohoo! Go Raiders! Tim Zimmer says Raider pride. Steve Geller's son's an offensive lineman. That's going to be a big young man. Watch for him. I'm telling you. He's going to wind up playing at LSU. Right?
That's his dream.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure he stays in state. Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk with Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans. Causeway, southbound, one lane open, had a fire earlier. Details coming up and more here on WWL.